Let's start at verse 14, and it's one of my favorites because it's verse 14. My last class, I was talking about maturity and about us growing up and being perfected. The whole purpose, you read Ephesians 4, and it's just for sign of the read Ephesians 4, it says, he gives apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and then it says order, and then the next scripture says, for the work, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. But the first thing it says is, the perfecting of the saints. So if we go in order, that means the saints got to be perfected before we start working. And we got to be perfected before we start working and edifying the body. You got to grow up, you got to mature. But there's a scripture in there that it says, you know, go there, Ephesians chapter 4, real quick. Go there and we'll read it. I'm not going to allude. My whole goal, and I know the name of this class, so forgive me for what I'm about to, well, don't forgive me, I'm going to say it anyway. I don't need forgiveness for that. I know the book we're doing is Living by the Book, but I really want you to be the book. Amen. I ain't changed the name of the class, so don't go tell nobody I'm changing the name of the class. But we're going from living by it to being it. And we'll go a little bit more. Then Ephesians 4, we'll go back to John. Ephesians chapter 4. Let me fix something real quick. For the sake of just reading the word, let's do a little reading. Start off at verse 1. You read together. I'm going to tell you like I told my last guy, read it like the church, so y'all read together. Ready, read. Amen. Ready, read. You ready? Tell me y'all ready. Y'all ready to read together? That means you got to listen and you got to read, all right? Ready? Go. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and keep reading. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Skip verse 9 and 10 because they'd be so difficult to read. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we see those, right? You see those three. The perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. All right, the perfecting, the maturing, the growing up. Stop saying, I'm going to teach you how to teach you about words because we're talking about living by the book. Stop saying these words that you don't know what they mean to try to define something. Perfection has nothing to do with flawlessness. All right, ain't nobody perfect. Shut up. Because the Bible says, herein is our love made perfect. And the whole point of government is for perfection. So now the word that you're looking for is flawless. Ain't nobody flawless. Yeah, okay, I'll take that one. But perfection has to do with purpose. I like to teach the people, stop saying stuff that you heard somebody else say and you don't understand what you're saying. Look up the word. There's a thing called etymology. E-T-Y-M-O-L-O-G-Y. And I like it because what it does, it tells you the original root of a word. Where did it come from? Did it come from Latin descent? What was it? Original Greek, Hebrew, whatever it came from, and it tells you what the word really meant, like the word currency. Well, I say currency right now, what you think? Money. But currency really meant flow. Current. Now it starts coming together. Like a current, it really meant a flow. It really had nothing to do with the coins and the dollars. It was talking about a flow. But if you don't know that, then you really don't know what currency really is. That's why you don't have a flow. Get it? Does it make sense to you? So when you're studying, let me teach you how to study. Study the word. When you're studying and when you're preaching the word of God, say these words that make sense. So now the perfecting of the saints. We talk about perfection. Perfection has to do with purpose. It's a perfect pen. This may not be the pen that you like. It might not be flawless to you. It might not be your color. But you better believe he started writing it. It does. It's a perfect pen. It's not flawless to everybody. Might not be your thing. Might not look like you wanted to look. But it's doing the purpose. Perfection, all right? Maturity means to grow up. To grow up into your purpose. All right? So now we're talking about the scripture said in verse 12, right? For the perfecting of the saints. Ain't no work of the ministry. Ain't no edifying or the building up or the bringing together of the body without the perfection first. We've got to perfect. The government is trying, is attempting to perfect us. The reason that we can't be perfected is because we don't want to take any chastisement. I had to get some whoopings. I said, I got more than all my siblings. My mother, she said, nah, you didn't. I said, yeah, I did. I remember. You had to go through four of them. I was the only one of me that was catching the whoopings. So I know. So I needed some whoopings and some prunings. Train up a child in the way they should go when they're older, they want to depart. I need some beatings, right? To beat me in order, to line me up, to perfect me, to make me mature. There's some things that got to happen to make me mature. The apostolic, and I'm going to show you what that is in a minute, but the apostolic and even the government is perfecting us so that we can be effective in the work of the ministry, which really means the work of the passing it out. It really means the work of the passing out the perfection, all right? And the edifying of the body. The next scripture, verse 13, you read it. Ready to read. Unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Who is that? Who's the Son of God? Huh? Oh, the knowledge of Jesus. Now, I know a lot of times you see knowledge. This is how I study, all right? Can I show you how I study? And you have to, you cannot approach these things like you know them already, because you don't. And so if you don't approach them and slow down and calm down and break the words down, then sometimes it'll be saying something else, but you'll never hear it because you stuck on the old thing. Knowledge of the Son of God. Now, you can take that two ways. I'm going to take it the deeper way. Now, we can talk about knowing about Jesus. We can have knowledge of Jesus or have the knowledge of Jesus. I don't know if y'all heard what I said. This is how I say, I have knowledge of Jesus, or I have the knowledge. Different ball game, ain't it? So till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Talking about perfect again, huh? Growing up, right? Everybody say grow up. Until the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I read that over and over again. Read the scripture over and over again. Then I slowed down and I said to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So I remember I used to take those little things in the house when it was coming up. Me and my brother and my sister, we used to stand by the door and we'd put the little notch on the door to see how tall you was at 10 years old. Anybody ever done that before? Yeah, you stand there by the door and you put a little notch on the door and say, 10 years old. Then say, this is how tall I was when I was 12, right? And you put the notch. We didn't know how we did. Put the notches because you see how you're growing up. You measure how you're growing up. Till you took the measure of the stature, right? Like the build, like your stature, like your size, right? Stature of the fullness. So now I would say, read that scripture again now. Uh-huh. Oh, this another Son of God. All right, so now we're looking at that different now, right? And keep going. Unto a perfect man. Perfect man. No, we're not talking about maturity, right? We're not talking about flawlessness, but maturity, right? Mm-hmm. Then we're going, where are we going next? Until I measure up to what Christ looks like. Right. Till me and Christ, and I know this is just physical attributes, but until me and Christ the same height. And we got the same width and same waistline. You get me? Until we have the same wingspan. Until we have the same stature. All right? Now, I understand we're talking about physical, but it goes a little deeper than that. You get it? Do y'all get the point that I'm making? Until we measure up, until when I walk in the room, the enemy, the powers that be in the enemy can't tell the difference if it's me or Jesus. So you got to slow down. Everybody say slow down. You got to slow down and read this word. All right, you give the Holy Spirit time to do something with it. Y'all never see that scripture the same now. All right. Verse 14, now we're talking about maturity, right? That first line, what did it say? No more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sliding men and cunning craftsmen whereby they lie and wait to deceive. Verse 15, you read, ready? Read. What's that next thing? Which is the head, Him. Who's that him? Who's that him? Ain't nobody else. Ain't talking about nobody else in there, right? You don't see Paul in there. Ain't nobody else. Ain't nobody. Him. Him is Jesus, right? It says, until we may grow up. Grow up. You know, like I stood by my father the other day, my daddy, right? I stood by him. And well, it's been years, but I stood by him and I realized, you know, we get a little mannish when we get a little older. And my daddy knocked me out one time, boy, of Disney World. I was playing around with him, and I thought I was getting mannish or whatever. I said, man, I got you, daddy. I'm too quick for you. He said, all right, I got you. He's smarter than me, right? He said, I got you. I said, nah, dad, I got you. This was years ago. I said, got you, dad. Just play. I'm too quick. I'm too quick, dad. You can't hear me? He said, all right, keep playing with me. I said, man, you can't catch me. You can't catch me. You're not going to be able to do it. Like, you know, you playing with me, man. This is father, son. So it's not apostle, spiritual son. This is my daddy. Let me climb my daddy like I want to. Right? We're Disney World. So he being the smarter man, the wiser man, been around a little longer, he know how it go, you know. So I forgot about it. I'm done. He's still like, I'm still going to get you. So we standing there, and I never met Splash Mountain right there. See, y'all know I remember, right? It's in my soul, right? Splash Mountain right there, and I'm standing there, and I'm just having to be a Disney World nigga. Poof! And I got hit in the chest. He tagged me. Poof! I'm on the ground in Disney World. Can't breathe. You got me. You thought we getting a little man. So now you get a little man, and you start getting a little old. You start standing up, and I realized one day I was like the same height. You know what I'm saying? And I never tried that again. But I just started realizing that I grew up. And people used to start saying, you look like your daddy, boy. I walk in the room one time, they say, you gotta be they call him Leroy at the time in the city. Hey, you gotta be his son. He looked just like, so I started growing up. And when I grew up, I started looking like him more. The attributes start changing because you grow up into him. And I'm just using him as my father. But I grow up into him in how many things? Look what it say. In how many things? All things. So the point is to grow up into Jesus. That's the point. That's the goal. To mature so much to where I grow up into Jesus. Not being a better Christian. No, grow up into Jesus. Like grow up into Christ. The works that I do, so you do also, and greater works than these. The goal is to grow up into Jesus. Not to grow up to have a good message about Jesus. Which is what we end up doing. I found out something, and we're growing up into Jesus. Everybody say, grow up into Jesus. Come on, say it again. I must grow up into Jesus. Say, that's the goal. That's the point. All of this is for that I'll grow up into Jesus. I grow up into Jesus. See the enemy and the circumstances and these things out in the world don't have to listen to you. But they got to listen to Jesus in you. You get it? Remember now, Jesus had all the extremities, all the nature, everything at his hands. He walked on water when he wanted. Jesus started changing, turned into light. Transfigured. He turned into light. Not even light shine on him. He was the light. John chapter 1 talking about he was the light of men, right? We're growing up into that. Flip over to John chapter 1. And we'll read what we're growing up into. Side note, you're going to have to, look at me, you are going to have to renew your soul. You're going to have to renew. How you renew? Renew your membership, right? You renew, what you do? You go pay it up. Like you renew your Netflix and you renew your subscription, right? You make it new. So you're not on the old contract, right? You're not functioning on the old thing. You're going to have to renew your soul all over again. Amen. So you'll know what you're doing and what the real meaning of it is. Yeah. See, we got some old thoughts That ain't worth nothing. Amen. They held us together. They kept us good. Amen. Some old daughters, mama taught us and grandma taught us, and we was in the church and we did it. That's fine. I get it. But sometimes grandma and mama and them didn't have the revelation that we are reaching right now. Amen. The Bible talks about ever increasing, never coming to the knowledge. You always going to be growing and knowing more. Amen. That God is too much to know. You got to keep learning. All right. And I gotta renew my mind, because if I don't renew my mind and change the way, I always say approach the word with a new face, like with a new look, with a new eye. Don't think that what you knew was what you know. All right. I want you to keep it fresh. Everybody say keep it fresh. Keep it fresh. Keep a fresh approach. Keep a fresh expectation. All right. So now I'm looking at it and I'm looking for him to say something. And the reason I say that, because if you don't renew your mind, then you could be studying on the old paradigm. You're trying to eat yesterday meal. They got some men I know that won't, there's some people just won't eat leftovers. I just will not do it. I don't care how good it is when you warm it up. I don't care if they say it's better on the second day. I'm not eating it. It's not hot. It's not fresh. It ain't today's meal. How about trying to breathe yesterday's air? Ain't gonna do too good. You're gonna suffocate. Because that's gone. Right? Living yesterday. You're trying to live in yesterday. Live your old yesterday, right? Trying to bring it back. It's over. It's over with. All right? You've got to renew your mind, because I don't want to, if we're going to make progress and we're going to go further into God and further into Jesus, I cannot let these old thoughts of why I'm reading the word, or these old thoughts about why I thought I was praying, affect what I learned to be the truth. It's not that that wasn't the truth, but you're always learning. You always go deeper, yeah. Right? It's not that you ain't in the water, but sometimes you got to go. You get it? And renew your mind. Everybody say, renew my soul. Renew my soul. Come on, say it again. Say, renew my soul. Renew my soul. Come on, say it again. Renew my soul. Renew my soul. I renew my soul. So now I renew my soul. Let me talk from my perspective, and maybe yours too. Renew my soul. I realize that I'm not just reading for ritual anymore. All right. How many ever read for ritual? Anybody with me? You read because you read because they told you you were supposed to read the good book, right? And you read because it's just the right thing to do. Sometimes we read, it's just the right thing to do. Like we weren't even reading for no revelation. We were just reading. I learned my psalms, and I read my Our Father prayer. I knew all that, and I just read. Thank God for all. I'm glad I learned that. Right, right. But then it goes a little deeper. So now we reading. So now I realize I'm not reading just to preach. I'm not reading to try to be the smartest Bible scholar in the room, right? Like I know, and it's nothing wrong with you being a smart Bible scholar, right? Like quote them scriptures, quote them. I love it when you quote them. Don't stop quoting, all right? But I realize it don't stop there. So I got to get that old paradigm out of my mind. I realize that I'm not trying to conquer the Bible. My dad told me when I was reading books, he said, stop trying to conquer the book, son, and read it. He's just talking about books in general. Sometimes you try to conquer, so I got my 3 chapters in today, right? So it make you feel good about yourself, but that's not the goal. You ever read a chapter and didn't remember nothing you read? Anyway, come on, y'all, we in the same, come on. I read it, and I don't remember nothing. What's the point? Go back, calm down. I'd rather you read 2 verses and know them and know what they're saying than to read 35 and just have that under your belt and you read 35. All right? So I renew my mind. I'm going to make a statement to you, and I read this in the book one time. The word of God, John chapter 1. You John chapter 1? I mean, remember we said we're growing up in Jesus, right? We're growing up in him in all things, right? John chapter 1, verse 14. Read it. We beheld the only begotten of the Father. Who are you talking about right there? Who are we talking about right there? Verse 14. Who? Remember we're talking about we grow up in him, right? Christ, the same one we're talking about. Read it again. Read that chapter. Read that scripture again. Read it. Read that first line again. And the word did what? The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It didn't say the word was said from flesh. It said the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Didn't say he was going to come and teach us the word. Get it? Didn't say he was come and giving us a message about the word. No. I came and became the word. I found out something about the word of God, and I found out something about scriptures, all right? John 6:63 said, it's the spirit that quickens, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. John 5:39 says, we do this over and over again. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have everlasting life, but they testify of me, but you won't come unto me, all right? All right, search them scriptures, but they're telling you to come to me. They're telling you to come to Word made flesh. They tell you to grow up into me in all things, all right? The goal is to grow up into him in all things. But I found out in most Christianity, in most Bible study, in most biblical training, the word of God are just, well, listen to what I'm saying, and I read this in the book, they are nothing but disembodied ideas. All right. That sounds deep. I know. I won't be deep. All right. So, all right, disembodied. We'll take that word, right? When you embody something, it's like Apostle Thompson, he embodies holiness, right? That means holiness is a thing, whatever we think it is, he is holiness in the flesh. You get it? Like he's living it. You get it? He embodies that. Okay? So if he embodies that, then disembodied means that doesn't have a body. All right? So I'm going to go back to the statement now. Most of the scripture to a lot of people, because they don't know how to approach them, they don't know what they're doing, are nothing but disembodied ideas. They're good. It's a good idea. You know what I'm saying? To pray without ceasing. It's a good idea to give and should be giving you a good measure pressed down. It's a good idea to search. Come on, you can find your scripture. It's a good idea. All those sound like good things. That's why we call it the good book. Sound like good things. But they can't function without embodiment. They cannot affect the world like they should without a temple, without a body, without a host. So it can live in it. That's good. A host. So now what we have out here is a bunch of scriptures in the air, and we're saying a bunch of things, and they have all the power on the inside, but they never click off and be what they're supposed to be, because they don't get down in you. Yeah. That camera is an awesome camera. It got all the pieces, everything that works. But if you do not plug it in, it will not function. If you do not plug it in, it will not function. I'll say it again. If you do not plug it in, it will not function. So now we got all these ideas, all these messages, all these preachers on TV. God bless them all. The Bible says if they ain't against us, they for us. All right? But all these ideas, all these confessions, all these words, all these things, all these books, all these things we're doing, and we're not embodying the ideas. We're not doing verse 14. The word is not being made flesh and dwelling among the people. Come on. See, the problem is, people aren't getting born again, or people aren't changing, or things aren't changing because we're saying more than we're being. It is not disembodied ideas that's going to change the world. It is only personality. Right? And I know you think your personality is, well, I laugh like this. Or I'm quiet. Right? Right? This is my sense of humor. Oh, whatever. Y'all know your personality. And they got a certain kind of personality. You know, we say that, right? We throw a bunch of words with your but just personality. Like it's personality. Like it's personal. Like it's a person. It's a person. See, it's not the disembodied ideas, but it's personality that changes the world. Listen to me. So now, God's whole intention, all right, Jesus said, the works that I do, so you do also greater works than these that I do, because I go to my Father. You're going to be able to do the same thing I do when I leave. Well, what did he do? The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The word was made flesh and then lived out the word. I heard a statement made, and it says, Jesus said, how many times I got to forgive him? 7 times 70? I said, yeah, but seven times 70. Keep forgiving him. But you know what made that stick? You know why that statement really sticks? It's not because somebody said it, because you'd have said it before. Ain't nobody thought nothing different. The reason that statement sticks is because he's the one that said it, and then he did it. He on the cross. Then been beat. They didn't release Barabbas before him, who was a known killer and taker. It's probably some of the same people that he ministered to. It's probably the same people that got fed with them 5,000. He probably touched some of their children and raised some of them from the dead. It's probably the same people that got me. And they said, give us Barabbas. Then they beat him and they whoop him. And they stab him and they stick him. Crown of thorns. Didn't do nothing. He was a sinless lamb. And he has the audacity to get on the cross. And there's so many things he could say. So many things he could do. They say he could have came down. He could have called angels to come down and save him and get him off. What you'd have done? Huh? I'd have came down. What? It wouldn't have been the first whooping. As soon as they hit me with that whip, that first time, pop. We're not having this. It's over with. We got to figure out another way, Jesus. God. Take the cup. Come on, that's us, right? But we're growing up. Everybody say growing up. We're growing up. I'm trying to get there. I'm getting there, right? I'm learning how to be there. But I might have took the first couple. But pow, woo! I God. He's a voice touching. God, don't. Then you get mad and they'll start spitting on you. And they spit on you. It's going down. We flipping over chairs. I heard somebody say it's going to be some furniture moving, right? Yeah, it's about to go down. We're not going to have this. And he goes through that. And they're beating. They ask Jesus a question. And Jesus answered the question. He wasn't being smart. He just answered the question and slapped him. I'll be talking to him like that. And they beat him. They talk about him. Stripped him naked. So now he naked, walking down embarrassed. Beat, bleeding, got to carry his own cross. People talking about all his friends gone. Because, you know, they said disciples. We thought it was like ministry school. I don't know what we thought it was. But they said Jesus called them to be with him. It was his friends. Yeah, he called them. They said Jesus started ministry about 30. Said them guys was in their 20s. Some of them were teenagers, younger ones, teenagers in their 20s and hanging around him. Because he called them to be with him. He picked a specific crew to be with him. But then you get there, and we call them your rounds, your homies, your partner, whatever you call them, your friends, right? Your best friend. They not there. They're not there. And then the ones that's there act like they don't know you. Look at you like that. I don't know him. And they start cussing. I don't know. Right? That I tell them last year, that probably hurt worse than the beating. And so now all this go on, crown of thorns, they put a little sign up there and say, here, the king of the Jews, and make it fun. Now you know you got the power to come down. You know that any minute you decide to, you can stop all this ridicule. And he up on this cross, and this is what he chose to use. His last few breaths, he chose to say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. God forgive them. That's the one he chose to use. That's the one that he decided to say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. It's maturity. That's another level. That's another place. That's another thing. That's another place that we're trying to grow up into. Right? But the word becomes flesh. It is powerful. That is good that he said, forgive them 70 times 70. But then we actually, with the nails in his hands and the nails in his feet and his side bleeding, he bleeding out. Because that's, you know, that's how he died. Yeah. He died because he bled out. Right. Yeah. In the middle of him bleeding out, going into unconscious, he has enough consciousness. Going in and out of, he has enough consciousness of soul and who he is to say, Father, forgive him. For they don't know. He's still up there thinking about us. So now when he says, I go back, now hindsight, I go back and read this Bible. And read that he said, forgive them 70 times 70. Well, I believe that.
I believe that because you got beat, put on the cross, ridiculed, all that stuff, lost all your notoriety and everything, and you still were saying, Father, forgive. I believe you, partner. Oh, you the truth. You the truth. You the truth. And then don't talk about when you got up and you came back and let me feel the hole in your hand. Then you come back and Peter, you knew Peter denied you three times. Peter, you love me more than these? Ask him three times, Peter, you love me more than these? He's still forgiving people. He's still forgiving people. He forgive Peter. Peter, you love me more than these? You remember when he came back and said that, right? Yeah, what you thought he was doing? Peter, you love me more than these? Why he asked him three times? Peter getting aggravated. Lord, you know I love. Peter, do you love me more than these? He's still forgiving people. After he knew. Get it? Word made flesh. His words were acted out. His words were an action. James 1:22. It says, write it down. He says, be ye, I will go there. James chapter 1, verse 22. You there? Verse 22, read. Ready to read. Read it again. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. Verse 24, for he beholding himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Verse 25, but all, whoso looketh into the, oh, there go that word again. Y'all see it? There go that word again. Perfect law of liberty. And continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed how? In his deed. He's blessed in his doing. His doing will be blessed because he's doing the word. He's doing Jesus. He's doing who he is. Y'all get it? We've got to get to the point to where we take this word and we study it and we take it in to the point that we realize we are building ourselves. We're adding to ourselves. It's not a separate thing. It's not Montrell reading the word. That's me. That word is me. That's me. So I got to take that. The scripture says, the word is nigh thee. Even in our heart. You know what happens when you get a revelation? You want to know what happens when you get a revelation? You get a revelation, oh. And it feel like a cold day, you're getting back in the bed, in a warm bed. It feel like I've been on a long trip and I made it home. Don't it feel like that, right? It feel like, oh, some relief to my mind. Don't it feel like that? Yeah, because it's already in there, but you just don't know it because you don't study it. It's telling you who you are. So when the revelation, knowledge, what's being revealed? Christ in you, the hope of glory, but that's you. You're joined out with Christ. It's you. You're made in the image of God. That's you. It's telling you who you are. Listen, now, if you understand what I'm saying right now, listen to me. If you understand, all right, if you understand what I'm saying, if you stand on what I'm saying right now, then your study time will never be the same. Like your approach to the, apostle is the way that he is behind the word. Right? Because he understands that. My life began to change and begin to mature in my study of the word. I'm growing, but it's hard for me to put it down. But it's only because I understand that. I understand that I'm not talking about nobody else. That scripture talking about me. Because until I grow up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Right? Until I grow up into him in how many things? I got a few things I ain't grown in. Come on, amen. Am I by myself? I know. No, we got a few things that I got to work on that one over there, right? Grow up into him and how many things? Oh, but that's the goal. So we're growing up. And so when I'm going to that, I'm growing up. Then I'm looking at the scripture, I'm growing up. I'm growing up and the word is being made flesh. And it's dwelling among people. And so now you begin to embody the word. You get it? Like you become the Word made flesh. And we know what the Word made flesh did on the earth, don't we? Huh? We know all the things that he was able to do, right? And the works that I do, shall you do. But I got one for you. I got one for you. I'm going to trip you out with it a little bit. Let me look at this for a second. I think I want to read the statement to you. I'll just save it for next time. I got one for you. Word made flesh. Perfection. Growing up. So what does that mean? I learned something about your soul, right? Your soul is a filter and a translator, right? So a whole bunch of things. But I learned that this is why you should study to show yourself approved and study day and night, because if you don't, you'd be very self-serving. Now listen to me. And because the condition of your soul will determine the depth that you go into, no matter what somebody preached to you, what song you hear, whatever, the condition of your soul will determine the depth that you go in. Now, if you condition for me, that's all you think about, and you probably only think about that because you don't search that scripture, because that scripture tells you it's about others. So if me, then when you hear the message, you think it's all about me, and you never reach the fullness, which probably why nothing happens to me. You get it? The condition of your soul. Just why I got some people I work with, I press them, read the book. Study this book. Pick up another book. Because I'm conditioning the mind so that you understand the bigger picture. You know, on every picture, there's a small picture. You ever had TVs and they got a picture and they got a little small picture in the corner? Mm-hmm. Right? Well, you know, are you look at a picture, a puzzle. Mm-hmm. Right? Anybody ever done a puzzle before? Yeah. Puzzles are cool. And you can even put about 10 of the pieces together. Right? Yeah. And you'll see a little bit of the picture. Woo! Because it ain't nothing, right? But you don't see the... You get it? So, I want to grow up into him. All right, grow up in him in all things, right? And the works that I do, so you do also, and greater works than these. It's amazing to me, and I said this before, that Philippians 3:10 says that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. And the next part says, the fellowship of his suffering. It's talking about even unto death. It's talking about after death, right? Read Philippians 3:10. Go, somebody go read it. Whoever get there first, just read it. Philippians 3:10.
That I may know him, mm-hmm. and the power of his resurrection, mm-hmm. and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death.
Being made conformable unto his death. Being made conformable. Be not conformed to this world, right? Being made conformable, like take the form of. Like, I know him, and I know the power of his resurrection, and I'll take the form that I'll die for. Uh-oh. Well, it's the works that I do, so you do also. Oh, we didn't get off the bus on that one, huh? That's the one I get off right here. I ain't willing to go that far, Jesus. Let this cup pass. Matter of fact, I'm going to pass the cup to you. Right? I don't want to go that far. Let me teach you something, though. We get excited. Power of resurrection! Fellowship of the suffering. About that. Right? Taking on for another, right? Father, forgive them for they. And the works that I do, so you do also. We think it's talking about opening eyes and raising people dead, and it do. We want to break bread and feed thousands, and that's great. But you got to take the whole, you can't, I told somebody the other day, we were talking about soaking. I said, you can't soak what part of you want to soak. You can't pick. You can't, this word, when it's word, my son, you are cleansed through the word. You can't pick which part it's going to work on, all or nothing, right? The word started working on me, so I found out something about Jesus, right? And the scripture says, there's two of them doing it for us right now. Now I go to the other one, but it says, he's interceding for us right now. Everybody say, grow up. I'm going to teach you how to grow up real quick. I'm going to teach you a grow up point. He's interceding for us right now, right? But we thought we'd go to intercessory prayer. We think we'd be interceding for people. But what does it really mean to intercede? Most times church don't do it. The church has come up with a watered-down 2016 revelation of what intercession is, and they appease their own mentality by thinking they're doing something for somebody. Right? So this is what the church thinks. Come here, Drex. This is the church thing. Stand right here and just face that way. Just stand right here, face that way. This is the church, and I said, now I want you to put your head down and look like something wrong with you, like you just, like you having trouble, like right, just, right? Right? This is what the church think intercession is. You ready? This is what we do. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless Drex. Change his life, you know what I'm saying? And give him a word. And start quoting scriptures. Let him see exceedingly abundantly above what you. You know, start doing that. We thought that we were doing something for Drexel. We can even get close. Lord, in the name of Jesus, bless, right? And you thought you was interceding. They said, Jesus interceded for us. They said, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The scripture, right? Interceding. Standing in the gap. Huh? That means, come on, Caleb, come over here. No, let's just not get it. Come on, my Venus. I'm going to do something. Because go over there, go over there a little bit. Now, act like you're trying to attack him. Act like you're trying to attack him, not for real, like that, but trying. Now see, interceding is, right? If I'm over here talking about, Lord bless, well, it's over with. But I'm interceding. All right? Now, remember this, the scripture now, you have the power to forgive sins. I'm gonna teach you how to do this. Growing up, everybody say maturity. So when we're interceding, when's the last time that you asked God for forgiveness on behalf of somebody? So some of y'all say I'm so busy asking for my own forgiveness, I ain't got time to be asking. Right? When the last time that you repented on somebody's behalf? I could do that? Yes, you can. Jesus started saying it. I approve it. Jesus said, the works I do, you do also, right? All of them, right? That means the works, whatever he do, we can do it, right? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. I ain't hear nobody in the crowd say, Father, forgive us, for we don't know what we're doing. No, he said, Father, forgive them on their behalf. So we call this praying for them instead of praying for them. You get it? Like I'm praying. Thank y'all. I appreciate it. I'm praying when he can't pray. Come on, y'all. Come on. Come on. Come on, y'all. Come on. Come on. Come on. Don't act like you heard it before. Look, I'm praying for him. I'm praying. I'm not praying for it. I don't even want to hear. I wish that they could hear Drexel's voice, but I'm going to say, I'm going to put the words out there, but I want them to hear him. I'm not asking for nothing for me right now. It's like, come on, Drex, come on, go do it again. So now I'm praying on his behalf. I'm right here, and my just the anointing that comes from me is on his behalf. I'm not even looking for anything. What I am looking for something for him to get it. So now Drex down. Come on, Drex, come on. He down. He out of it now. He confused. He don't know what's going on. He can't ask for. In those times you've been there before, huh? You didn't stop and say, oh, I know what I need. I need forgiveness. No, you cried and you laid there, you wallowed in the mud for a little while, and you said, why God? And all the different things. You ever been there before? I know you have. I know you have, so don't lie to me. You've been there before. You won't go there. So what I'm gonna do is instead of I pray for him. God, I'm coming to you on behalf of Drexel. You know, if something's going on, Father, forgive him. He don't know what he's doing. He don't even know how to, I'm here, God, because the works that I do, so you do also. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Grow up. That's the word made flesh. Thank you, Drex. That's the word made flesh. That's the word made flesh. I'll teach you how to do it. You can do that tomorrow. I bet you got a couple people you can do that for right now, huh? A couple of you. I got a couple of people I can stand in the gap. Have you ever prayed for somebody and nothing changed? Have you ever prayed for somebody and nothing changed? Well, that might be why, because you thought you was praying for him when you should have been praying for him. So I get in the gap. I'll tell another class, like anybody I know that work with me, anybody I know that work with me, like I'm the type of person. It was my fault. It could be a group effort. I got it though. It was me. I should have just, you know what I'm saying? I should have carried it out. It might not have been my fault at all. But I'm going to jump in. I'm like, that was on me. know what they call people? You know they say throwing them under the bus? Yeah. Right? Y'all know what they say, man? No, ain't no buses in my life. No buses. So something go on. Now, how many people we talk about? It's immature to judge. Now, judgment, hold on. Judgment is not bad, but it's called righteous judgment. Right? But just pointing your finger, how many times the finger could have been pointed at you? Somebody stood in the gap for you. So if I'm going to do it like Jesus, right? A lot of people don't get there because they live their lives for themselves. They live their lives out to try to accomplish what they think is on their plate. And what's on your plate, you know, I found out something. You know, the plans that I thought for you, the plans that are not even the plan, the stuff you got written in the book already. You know what I found out? I found out y'all name in my book. So if I'm going to live that out, somewhere along the line, I got to stand in the gap. Me for you too. You get it? Everybody name ain't in everybody's book because we ain't going to meet everybody in the world, right? But I know who I'm for and who for me, right? So now in that book right there, we're trying to live out all the dreams. In the dream, the people standing in the dream. Stand in the gap. Stand in the gap. Next time, a family member, a friend, whatever, not even got to be friends, so just somebody you know, somebody may come to you with a problem. Stop doing this. Put the Bible down, Caleb. Stop doing this. Come on, stand up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to bless Caleb and make his life better. And that's cool. I'm not saying don't say that, all right? I'm not being religious already. It's not what I'm saying. But sometimes you say, Father, I ask for forgiveness on behalf of Caleb. I'm right here standing in the gap for him. Because he may not know what to say. Huh? He may not know the prayer to pray. Well, it don't mean what I'm gonna send him off with a blessing. How much of a blessing was I? Thank you. Somebody will come to you with some issues, right? Young man got born again the other night. We was at a praise the Lord. I've been knowing him for a little while. I've been knowing him for some months now, and he'd been hanging with the twins that played. They've been hanging with him, and he just wasn't too sure. But he's very gifted, real kind-hearted, quiet guy. Which came to our youth meeting the other night. And I didn't preach a come to Jesus message. Like, I wasn't, it was all of us come to Jesus message. But it wasn't like hellfire and brimstone. It wasn't like, I'm trying to scare the hell out of you. It wasn't none of that. It was just, you know, we had a good message. And he walked up to me after, too. We didn't even do altar call. And he walked up to me after. He said, man. And the first thing he said was D word. He said, man, we quit right then, huh? Look, stop. Stop saying those curse words toward me. Don't you stop. He ain't mature enough yet. He don't even know what's going on. But I'm going to kick him for. No. And he starts saying, man, you know, this stuff just, man, that really helped me just now. Stuff was going wrong. And he started talking about, man, I just feel like, watch this. The Christ is in you all. Listen to me, watch this. He starts saying, I just feel like, you know, some people that, you make me feel like I need to go back. You know, and I don't mean the kiss day. And he said it. Listen, I'm just telling you what he said. He said it. You know, we going again. Strike two. Send him to the car, y'all. Send him to the car. He talked to him and he said, but I feel like I need to, things have been going down and my life been going down. I didn't know. He said, I just been feeling like I need to go back to them and just tell them I'm sorry. And ask them for forgive me. Even on my part, even though they done me wrong sometimes. He's telling me this. Now, he's not saved. Quote unquote, like we say, like we not, he didn't remember word life. I don't even know if he go to church anywhere. But that's God. Start dealing with him. So here we go. Paul playing the power of water. God gave an increase, right? Here I go. I know Allie. That's an alley-oop. Time to slam dunk. Here we go. I say, I know what it is. I know what you're going to need. I know it's going to help you. I want you to pray this prayer. Then we're going to live this life. He got it right then. Word made flesh. You get it? Word made flesh. You get it? Word made flesh. The conversion rate will be better if the word. So now we know what interceding is, right? Huh? Interceding is what Jesus said. Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. So now so we can't be scared to jump in the trenches. Oh, we got a lot of fat weather Christians. Y'all know some of them. When they get down to praying, we got to get down to the battle of it. You can't find nobody. I don't know them, Peter. Right? No. Jump in. Jump in and start talking on their behalf. Go to court for them. Talking about the courts of heaven? Go to court for them. Huh? Spend a little time and go to court for them. You be going to court for yourself every day. You always up there pleading your case. Maybe, maybe, just maybe. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Just maybe your non-guilty verdict in your case is going to come by getting non-guilty for somebody else. Amen. Amen.